Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic today is fear. And before we start, we have a gift that we're going to give you, and we'll speak in greater detail about that gift later on in the show. But I think you'll like that gift, and it may be very helpful to you in dealing with fear, especially. All of our dialogue, everything that you'll hear on this show, emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and she wrote 24 volumes of literature of a spiritual nature. I suppose you'd call it spiritual philosophy. And this thought also comes from the works of Alice Bailey. Fear has its roots in matter itself and is an effect of the human mind. I suppose that for a lot of people who are rather enlightened, it's the greatest fear is probably fear of not really living, and fear can prevent us from really living to the potential that God meant us to live up to. So that's a fear that might be the opposite of what some people think. But let's speak about that thought by Alice Bailey, and we can explore that a little bit further. Can you comment on that opening thought? Because maybe that's not understood by some people.
I'm not sure I understand it. It's really quite deep. Fear has its roots in matter itself and is an effect of the human mind, Alice Bailey wrote. To say that fear has its roots in matter itself suggests that it's closely tied in with the urge to preserve one's life, because all creatures, not only the human but the animal creatures too, live in physical bodies. People with a spiritual faith and an understanding that life is not only what we see on the outer material planes probably believe that life continues even after the relinquishing of the physical body. But on the level of fear, which is emotional, I think this urge, which is really a very healthy urge to preserve one's life in the body, is also the source of our fear. The idea of giving up our body suggests that it's giving up our life, our place on earth. So I think that's implied in the statement that it's anchored in the roots of matter itself. She also said that fear is inherent in the play of the opposites of the soul and matter, or substance, soul being the spiritual consciousness that enlivens and quickens the material form, and its polar opposite is matter. Fear is inherent in the play of opposites. That again suggests that on an instinctual level, the living creature, whether human or animal, will do just about anything to preserve his life in the body.
Yes, there is that self-preservation instinct that comes from the animal nature, and we inherited that, I think, from the animal nature.
And it's right and good, don't you think?
Oh, yes. Yes, it's there for a purpose, so that one does have to fight for survival sometimes, mm-hmm. and the fear of not surviving is very strong.
It's healthy. It's a warning to.
Sure,
yeah.
And that's one of the positive aspects of that fear. But there is another, as the quote says, it's an effect of the human mind, and it's many of our fears today are magnified by the mind itself, and these fears don't necessarily are not necessarily real, or they have a don't have a reality to them, but they seem real because they are so powerfully magnified and energized by the active principle of mind itself, mm-hmm. by our very thinking about something which we think is going to be fearful, a fearful situation, and we tend to magnify that fear out of proportion quite often. And I think that's why, why Roosevelt said, we have nothing to fear but fear itself, mm-hmm. because fear is the so debilitating, mm-hmm. sometimes. And if the mind is overactive on this particular fear, then it gets magnified out of proportion.
Yeah, it can leave you almost paralyzed to take any action at all. Fear mm-hmm. can. It's so debilitating. I wonder, too, whether psychologically this fear that is the effect of the human mind is something that goes deep into our past and that includes a lot of ancient memories. On this program, we've talked a lot about reincarnation, rebirth, and if you believe in that basic concept that we are not born only once but live repeatedly in the body on earth and have been reborn over and over again, if you believe in the basic truth of that, then you'd have to say in your past, and in the past of all of us, are a lot of bad experiences as well as a lot of wonderful ones, probably. It's part of life. And I wonder sometimes whether there's memory stored up in the cells of our spiritual being that makes so many people of a very sensitive, intelligent mm-hmm. sort unusually prone to fear.
Yeah, I think like the fear of darkness or fear of the dark, or it's what you can't see out there. And I think that goes back way, way in the past, and probably in the, back in our caveman days.
Well, there's another kind of fear that you can't see, and that's the fear of the past that you don't remember. I guess that's what I'm talking about. Something from way in the past that left its imprint on you. Maybe I'm being too psychological about this, I don't know. But supposedly you could say it leaves its imprint upon your basic nature, but it was so far in the past that you don't remember it, but you just retain the fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I meant by the fear of darkness. I think it's one of those ancient memories that is carried forward, and it's kind of stored up in your memory banks, perhaps. And
so you're saying that to be afraid of the dark is related to our past? I thought to be afraid of the dark is because there are a lot of bad things out there.
Even now. There are no boogeymans in the dark.
I've always been afraid of the dark.
Well, you've always been afraid of the dark. So, I mean, always in many lives past, perhaps. So I'm just guessing. I have no idea. But I think this is a very real fear that is brought forward mm-hmm. from one life to another, perhaps.
Well, it's definitely the case that people's minds and imaginations, I think, are being stimulated more and more. And also the exposure to media. We're all reading mysteries and watching crime shows and horror movies. I mean, some of us, I don't like to watch them. And I think all of that feeds people's fears, too. They can imagine a lot more than they used to.
Absolutely, and as the mind becomes more active in human nature, and as the human brain becomes more sensitive to the different fears, then everything gets magnified all out of proportion. Mm-hmm. I think that's why it says in the quote, and it's an effect of the human mind. It's much of the fear.
I can remember reading two horror comics with a friend when I was a very young girl. She had them at her house, and I was visiting her. And they terrorize me still just remembering them. They were so awful. One was about a kind of a zombie that lived behind bars and broke loose, and the other was about insane people who were driving in a car on a rainy night and broke into a house. It was horrible. Those things stay with you, and I think people, especially children, are exposed to a lot of media that is probably very unhealthy for them in terms of feeding fears and wrong imagination. But
yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah.
Well, I guess there are so many different types of fears. I think one type of fear that's interesting that I've experienced is that I fear that one day, sometime in the future, that I might look back and say that fear has prevented me from actualizing the highest potential of my own existence. And another one is fear of failure, and that keeps me from launching forward into new ventures in life. But the books of Alice Bailey discuss a number of different types of fear. What are some of those?
Well, I think probably the most basic fear is the one we touched on in the beginning, which is the fear of death. That's a kind of a base fear, a fundamental fear to all living beings. And I think, like all fears, the writings of Alice Bailey say they have a basically positive element at their base. And the fear of death is what gives us the urge to live and to preserve our life, which is part of God's plan, that we should live. And yet, the fear of death can make us compromise by taking wrong action, by being unnecessarily evasive of responsibility, of being unwilling to try new things, experience new ways of living, simply out of the urge to preserve the status quo and to stay within the known and the comfortable. That's one aspect of the fear of death.
There are many reasons, I think, excuse me, why the we have this fear of death. It's explained in some of the Bailey writings that it's based on a terror of the final rending process and the act of death itself, the restitution. Or it's on a horror of the unknown, so we don't know what to expect after death. Or there's a unhappiness about leaving loved ones behind or about being left behind. And there's also, I think, partly related to the fear is because we cling on to the form life, onto the physical world. There's a holding on. And there's an unwillingness to let go because of don't know what's coming up next. And this is the only reality that we know. And so we hang on for dear life. And that causes a lot of pain and suffering. And so I think a lot of these are as is pointed out in the Bailey writings, a lot of it is illusionary. It's based on illusions and false understandings and ideas that have been built up over the years. And like the erroneous teachings of heaven and hell and that sort of thing.
Don't you think, though, that this fear of death is being lessened by the reports that we seem to hear more and more of people who have had some out-of-the-body experience or near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you did a series of interviews with people some years ago who had had those experiences. I'm sure that if one has had an out-of-the-body experience, meaning someone who, through an accident or surgery or whatever, seems to pass briefly over or out of the body and then returns to the body, and has some recognition or some conscious awareness of being separated from the body and yet enduring, living on in consciousness, that must be absolutely convincing in the sense that you no longer fear death. And I've heard people who have had those experiences say that there is nothing to fear.
Yes, in fact, they encounter this tremendous love, many of them, this powerful energy of love on the other side. Once they are released from this physical body, in fact, some of them, if they've been in a operating room, they'll suddenly leave their body and they're up on the ceiling looking down on the whole scene below with the doctors and
observing
the whole thing. So, I mean, there's that total absence of fear at that point. And it's very uplifting, and the one thing they fear is coming back into the body.
It's usually out of a sense of responsibility and of being not finished with one's responsibilities.
There was one lady I interviewed, and she said when she came back into the body, she felt angry, so angry, because she was back into the world again, and she just wanted to stay out there in that loving atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Well, then it becomes the fear of life, I guess, or at least that level of life.
Yeah.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today is fear. And earlier in the show, I mentioned that we're giving you a gift, and we're happy to do so. And it's only one page, but boy, is it a powerful page! And it can, and reading it, the title of gift is Three Techniques of Light, and it has a lot to do with helping us to subdue our fears, or perhaps handle our fears, maybe even conquer our fears. And so if you'd like Three Techniques of Light, I think you'll find it very valuable. I think we all go through challenges that make us feel fearful. I know I've found this this literature to be very helpful to me when I was going through a difficult time. It's called Three Techniques of Light. Just give us a call. We'll be happy to send it out to you. And you can phone us on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. And we'll be very happy to send that out to you. It's called Three Techniques of Light. Just ask for it. All the works of the LUCIS Trust, including this radio program, it's all funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the LUCIS Trust. We're not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals. So please give if you want these programs to continue on the air. Donations can be sent to LUCIS Trust, L-U-C-I-S, LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. People often ask, we get a lot of phone calls. Many people ask, what is LUCIS Trust? Is it a religion? And that probably is our most frequently asked question. And the answer is no, LUCIS Trust is not a religion. People come from all walks of life, and I suppose that defining it as a spiritual philosophy organization would be the best way of describing LUCIS Trust. And you're welcome to attend our meditation meetings, other meetings, and you'll find people who are there from all walks of life, multiple numbers of religious backgrounds. And I think that probably if we have any commonality at all, it's the commonality that everyone seems to be interested in the improvement of mankind and mankind's situation. So, once again, give us a call if you'd like more information, or if you'd like that gift that we spoke about earlier, 1-866-695-8247.
There is another big fear, the fear of the future. And I think particularly now, as we are in this very uncertain time where we're really betwixt and between an old age and a new age, and I think that feeds the sense that the future is something we really do not have a clear image of, and in many ways it doesn't look too good. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a fear that, again, immobilizes people, makes them cling to something that's a way of living that's outmoded, probably no longer really serves their present state of growth, and yet it's so familiar that they're willing to stay in the known and habitual rather than risk forging bravely ahead into something unknown and unpredictable that might very well be challenging and call for real growth on their part and maybe open up a whole new way of seeing life.
Yeah, with the economic situation it is, many people have some fear of the future, especially if they have a job that's rather tenuous or it's not a stable situation they're in, and they have a big mortgage and families to support and children to put through college. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that can produce a lot of fear. And so, as you say, it brings up a lot of those old fears that we have in our psychological past. Perhaps we fear of insecurity, of just being able to live.
Another fear that's quite prominent is the fear of failure. You mentioned that. Mm-hmm. There are different types of failure. One is that you might fear getting to the end of your life and looking back and realizing that you missed the essential point of your life. Mm-hmm. That's a fear that I think a lot of spiritual and very sensitive people have, people with a lot of responsibility, people who naturally try to live up to the best within them, fear getting to the end of their life and realizing that they didn't really recognize the essential, fundamental guiding principles that they should have lived by, and feeling that they have failed because of it. There's another fear, the fear of pain on all levels, psychic, emotional, physical. I think we can all identify with these fears, and we share many of them with animals.
Mm-hmm. There's also the little fears that sometimes we have of the fear of having to go in and meet your boss because fear of what he's going to say is going to reprimand you, or the fear of public speaking or getting up in front of a group of people, and all these little fears. But it's interesting about these types of things, they these types of fears, that the in the Alice Bailey writing, she says that they're based on a mental condition such as pride.
Pride is behind all
mm-hmm. of those fears, mm-hmm. because with fear of rejection or fear of being criticized or fear of being made fun of, you know, of being laughed at.
Or not living up to what our big ego thinks we should be.
Yeah, and it comes right back to the little ego being mm-hmm. hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not real, these fears. That's what we said earlier about the mind is able to create these kind of reactions, the mind and the emotional nature working together, and builds up and magnifies these fears out of proportion to their real, to the real substance.
There's another aspect of pride and fear, the fear of what other people will think of you. Mm-hmm. And that guides a lot of sensitive people. They don't do what they would really like to do, what they might even feel compelled to do, because other people might judge them harshly. Again, there's pride behind that, because you're concerned with what other people think of you rather than what your own inner self, your soul, wants of you. That's the only criterion we have to answer to, mm-hmm. really. But we put all this power in society, in our friends, our family, our companions on the way, the people we admire, and we let them make our decisions for us by being so proud that we don't want to fail. I've heard very creative people say that they were able to accomplish what they did because they were willing to take the risk of failing.
Mm-hmm.
They realized they might not be able to do what they set out to do, and they gave it their best shot anyway. They're the ones that might really succeed in something new because they were willing to risk that.
Yeah, and that's one of the positive uses of fear. They are that fear then becomes an opportunity to face the fear and to overcome it.
I think what could help us face the fear, too, is the thought that what might be the consequences of not doing the thing that we fear. Last time we touched upon overcoming fear. Can you go back to that again?
Yes. There are a number of suggestions from the writings of Alice Bailey for overcoming fear, beginning with, if you're in a state of fear, relaxing and breathing evenly mm-hmm. and deeply. That immediately settles the whole personal equipment or mechanism. And then using your imagination, visualize or call down a stream of pure white light and see that light pouring through your mind, your emotional nature, your physical body, filling you with light and driving out all impurities and all fear. You literally flood yourself with love and light. And there's a kind of a mantra from spiritual scripture that you can say to yourself, let reality govern my every thought, and truth be the master of my life. That has a kind of a command to it that's quite powerful.
It certainly does,
I've used
yeah.
it, and it's very effective.
And I think that anything of a nature of fear can only be conquered by approaching it from a higher level,
mm-hmm.
in other words, from the soul, because in calling in the powers of love of the soul, because love is probably the most healing and uplifting energy that will lead out of the situation, a fearful situation.
Aldous Huxley said that in his book, The Perennial Philosophy. He said, fear cannot be got rid of by personal effort, no matter how hard we try. Only the soul's absorption in a cause greater than its own interest can overcome fear. And that struck me as really true. Fear makes you selfish. It turns you in on yourself. And the only thing that can liberate you from fear is turning your sights outward to the need around you and identifying with the much greater whole. That releases you.
And if you'd like that gift, having to do with the theme of the gift of the paper that we're sending you, has to do with conquering fear. It's called Three Techniques of Light. Just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247, or the easy way, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. LUCIS is LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS, NY-LUCIS. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.